people, can you turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 9? Romans chapter 9. And we're going to look at, while you're in Romans 9 here, let's take a look at verse 30 here. Romans 9, verse 30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which follow not after righteousness have attained to the righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? But Israel which followed after the law of righteousness hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Now, when we went over the doctrine of the repentance unto Israel, we looked at it a little bit about that rock and about Jesus being the one they should have believed on or fell upon. And here you see in verses 32 and 33 what's called a stumbling stone. And in verse 33, the rock of the offense. And we're going to cover that in a little bit here. That's what we're going to be spending our time with, looking at the Jesus being that rock of offense. Now, next week we'll take a look at the stumbling stone. But you gotta, in order to know about the stumbling stone, you gotta know about the rock of the offense, because you gotta know about the stone where someone's gonna stumble over. So that's why we're gonna look at the rock of offense first here. But before we do that, let's take a look back at verses 30 and verses 31. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which follow not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. And when Paul is talking about this, he's setting the stage back before Paul was raised up. He's setting the stage where before the middle wall of partition was broken down, that the Gentiles, they were cursed from Christ. They had no hope in the world. They didn't follow after righteousness. And now he says, now they follow after righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. And that just goes to show you there that the righteousness which is of faith is what Israel followed after, the ones that were justified, of course. And it doesn't say even the righteousness which is of faith plus works. It's the same righteousness that Israel followed after, that now the Gentiles have attained to. And as you see, as we're going to see in Romans chapter 10 and 11, it's going to explain to you about Israel stumbled and how they stumbled that they should fall, and that because of their fall that how we have the righteousness which is by faith alone, and things like that. But let's take a look at verse 31 here. Verse 31, but Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Now, that's not talking about the law, the actual law, the Old Testament. That's talking about the legal way righteousness comes by. That's what it's speaking of there. And you're going to see that here. Look at verse 32. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, when they stumbled at the stumbling stone. So now, if it was the works of the law, then it would say here in verse 31 that it wouldn't say, which followed after the law of righteousness, have not attained to the righteousness which is of the law, the law of righteousness. Well, here it says they sought it, the ones that fell, they sought it by the works of the law. So, you can't have both here. And in other words, in trying to do it by the works of the law, that causes a Israelite to stumble, to not attain to righteousness because he's trying to seek it by the works of the law and not by faith. That's what verse 32 is saying. And verse 31, it says, Israel, and this is speaking of the ones that, of course, before Paul was raised up, but Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, have not attained to the law of righteousness. They didn't attain unto it. But look at, and as you see here, they're seeking it by works of the law, but not by faith. And it should be plain and simple to see that and see what Paul is doing here. Ever since we got into Romans chapter 9, he's showing you about a remnant was justified by faith. Another remnant is not, because they tried to get it by the works of the law, by doing the law. Now let's move on to verse, looking at the end here, verse 32 here. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. But as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a rock of offense, and whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. Now, let's take a look at that whole issue about that rock of the rock of the offense. And again, that's offense, you know, not like offense, you know, like a person is on the offensive, like or like in basketball, this person has a lot of offense, not defense. Now, this is not the same kind of that type of, but this is offense. And we're going to see what all this entails here about that the rock of offense. And what does it mean by that? And evidently, Jesus Christ is the rock of offense. And we're going to see what that means. But for that, can you turn your Bibles to, let's go to Isaiah, the book of Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8. And let's look at verse 11. Give you a second to get there first. Isaiah 8. Verse 11. For the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both the house of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many of them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and taken. Now, in looking at this in verse 11, as you see, it says the Lord spake thus to me with the strong hand. This is Isaiah talking here. And instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people. And that's ungodly people. That he ought to walk in the way of the Lord. And verse 12, say ye not a confederacy. In other words, don't join up with those guys. Don't join up with those people. Don't join up with those people. And like it says, a confederacy, neither fear ye their fear. In other words, don't be fearing these people or fear what they fear, but be God-fearing. And, you know, you see verse 13, sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. And again, we all know what the word sanctify means. That means you set something apart. You declare it to be holy. You separate unto yourself and value and esteem it to be something to be valued. And this is sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. And he, verse 14, and he shall be for sanctuary. Now, sanctuary, we know what that terminology means also. It's a place of dwelling, place where you can reside, a holy place. But for a stumbling stone, a sanctuary for those that fear him and the ones that sanctify the Lord, in other words, the ones that are his people. And it says, but for a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the house of Israel and a gin for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And it's talking about the ones that are not going to want to walk in his path, the ones that are not going to, of that nation there. And you notice he's talking about the Lord of hosts himself. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Jehovah. And remember, Jesus Christ is going to be called the rock of offense and a stumbling stone. And you know, a lot of times, oftentimes, people, we hear them say all the time about how can Jesus and God be one? How can they, you know, and you see certain verses like this here, this ought to be one to make a person think, wait a minute, the capital L, capital R, capital D, he's being talked about as a stone, a stumbling, and a rock of offense. Now you see Jesus being talked about that, a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. And look at verse 15, and many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. Now this is not talking about what Paul is talking about in the same sense of what happened about the what we see with the mystery here, but it's talking about something that happened to them before Paul was raised up. Now, and as you see here, a stone of stumbling for a rock of offense. And we're going to get into what all that means about the rock of offense. I don't want to get into too much of the stumbling stone thing yet because we're going to take a look at that next week. But turn your Bibles, if you will, to Hosea chapter 5. Hosea chapter 5. And we're going to see a couple of things that's said here about what the Lord said about how the people can be an offense, and what that means, because it's using a different meaning here about that offense or be offended and that type of thing, and what that means. So we're going to look at a couple definitions here about what that means. Look at Hosea chapter 5, and let's take a look at verse 14. Hosea 5, 14. For I will be unto Ephraim as a lion, and as a young lion to the house of Judah. I will tear and go away. I will take away, and none shall rescue him. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face in their affliction. They will seek me early. Now, this is talking about the time in the fifth course of punishment, but the third installment of that fifth course. And that third installment of the fifth course calls for God to be silent to Israel. God was silent with Israel. He didn't send any prophets out to speak to the nation. There was a famine of hearing. And he's talking about here how he's going to tear and go away, just like a lion would do. And as we know, what Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26 said about those courses of punishment, how God was going to walk contrary to Israel because of their disobedience, because they didn't hearken unto the voice of the Lord, because they were walking in ungodliness, that the Lord was going to walk contrary to them, but he's going to do it in fury. And as you see here, he says, verse 15, I will go away, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense. Now, there's many things we can look at as far as that offense goes. We're going to see it next week when John the Baptist is going to even say about that, about the rock and about how they should have fell upon him and things like that. And we know, speaking of John the Baptist, he came and he went out and told Israel that they need to repent. And Isaiah chapter 40 talks about the idea about that repentance. And Isaiah 40, let's just take a look at that real quick. You know, we'll see this. Come to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 40. And as you see there, how in Hosea 5 it says, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense. Now that's Israel being an offense unto God. Israel is being an offense unto God. And that, let's just look at that there. And just the word of offense. When you're an offense to someone, you can be offensive to them, meaning you can, it's something that they can look upon and say, oh, that's, how could you do that? That's offensive to me. And you can pretty much do something to dishonor them. You can do something to shame them, and so on. But we're just take a look at Isaiah 40. Look at verse 1. Isaiah 40, verse 1. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert of a highway for our God. Now, again, prepare the way of the Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Jehovah. And this is, as you see, this is what took place when John the Baptist came. And Israel, iniquity is pardoned. And that's the whole idea of that Hosea 5 about acknowledging their offense. It's their iniquity. And for 400 years, God kept silent to Israel. And John the Baptist proclaimed that now God is speaking comfortably to his people. Instead of speaking in wrath, he's speaking what's called comfortably to them. Now come over to Matthew. Come over to Matthew chapter 16. And let's take another look at some of the words, meanings about offense. And get a clear understanding. So by the time we get back onto Romans chapter 9 there, actually go into Romans chapter 10, we have a pretty good understanding about what it means about that offense, the rock of offense, and what that entails. Matthew 16, let's take a look at verse 21, sorry. Matthew 16, verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Now, and we look upon that like, yeah, what's wrong with that? It's something that we know and something that we plainly see and understand because of our understanding of the scriptures there. But I want you to take a look at Peter's response here. Let's take a look at Peter's response. when it comes to this issue here of what was said there. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." But he turned, the Lord, of course, he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." And I know we've read this many times, but not took a look at that word, "an offense unto me." And the Lord is looking upon it, and when Peter's being looked upon as an offense unto the Lord, or when you say that, it's something that's personally offensive to someone. Or actually, Peter was being, he was opposing to the Lord. And a lot of times that word offense can be looked upon as an embarrassment to others when someone is an offense. And as you see, he's actually being a roadblock unto the Lord by saying that. That's what the Lord is saying here. He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan," because he know only that's the way Satan would think. It'd be contrary unto the word of God. And what is, he says, "Get thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Now, why should Peter savor the Lord being suffering by the elders and the chief priests, scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day? And you know, as a man, he doesn't want to see his friend be killed and be tortured and all those things. And as a man, he doesn't want to see the Lord and Savior, whom he trusts in, this happen to him. But actually, he's being an offense unto the Lord here. Let's come to Matthew. Come back to Matthew 11. We'll turn your Bibles back chapters to Matthew 11. Let's look at Matthew 11 here. We'll take a look at a couple things here. Matthew 11. And let's look at verse 1. And we're going to look at, we've seen offense. Now let's take a look at the word offended. We're going to see the word offended because that's going to come up. And being an offense is what a person, is the type of thing that a person can do there. But we're the ones that would get offended because of an offense being done unto us. Well, let's take a look at that there. Matthew 11, verse 1. "And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John," this is John the Baptist, "now when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him," and this is, the disciples are saying this unto Christ, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" Now, you know, when looking at this here, oftentimes people would say, well, you know, John doesn't know if he is really the one, and John sending his disciples to go check it out and say, "Hey, are you really that guy?" Well, the problem with that is John is the same John who we just read in Scripture that's going to prepare the way of the Lord. He's the same one that's going to look and pick Jesus out of a crowd and say, "Behold the Lamb of God." He's going to be the same one who says, "Whose shoes I am not worthy to latch it." He's the Lord's cousin, by the way, also. So it wasn't that John sent his disciples, he heard about the works of Christ, and he sent his two disciples to say, to ask this question, because he doesn't know. He sent his disciples to, because what the Lord was doing, because the for the disciples' inquiry, it was John's disciples that were inquiring this. You got to remember, John's in prison. He's getting ready to be killed here. He's in prison. And if the kingdom was coming, you got to remember, John was preaching, repent, the kingdom is at hand. The kingdom is at hand. And it isn't the fact that they didn't know that he was, that the Lord was mighty, because they saw his works. And you're going to see that. But they said, do we look for another? In other words, is there also, yeah, you got John. John was a great prophet. Maybe Jesus is a prophet himself in their eyes. But is there the one? Is that one is the one is coming? So this is what you see take place here. But look at what Jesus said. Verse 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who shall, whosoever shall not be offended in me. See, let me just deal with the first part here, what you see. In verse 4, he says, go and show John again the things which ye do see, hear, and see. In other words, when they came unto him, they came unto him, and he was doing his works. They saw the blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead were raised, the poor had the gospel preached to them. These are things that they saw after they went, they left from John and went unto the Lord. The Lord was, you got to remember, the Lord was going around doing the works of Christ. He was doing the works of the Messiah. And the disciples saw this. So that's what they did. They went back and bear witness that this is the one. And John could bear witness and tell them. And that's why John sent them out. That's why. Look at verse 6. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Now we're going to look at that whole idea about offended. We're going to see what all this means here. And I don't want to, I can amplify on it here, but I won't go into too much detail about it right at this second here. But he says, whosoever shall not be offended in me. There was a lot of Pharisee doctrine going on. Jesus was being discredited by everyone. They were saying, oh, this guy, he's going out there and, as you're going to see, Jesus talks about the like a wine bibber, and about him being casting out these things by the prince of devil, the Beelzebub and things. And we're going to see some of that stuff of what took place, about how he was, that other people could be offended by him because he was doing the works. And I want you to just keep this in mind here. Just keep that in mind. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. Matthew 26. And let's look at verse 30. Matthew 26. I'll give you a second to get there. And verse 30. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you in Galilee. Now, as you see here, the Lord is saying that his disciples are going to be offended because of him this night. And it says, I will smite the shepherd. This is written, it says, I will smite the shepherd, which is the Lord, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered, which is the 12 or the 11, shall be scattered abroad because they're offended. And again, a person can be offended by someone, but it doesn't mean a person did something to affect them negatively. And the word offended can be used more than just say, oh, that's personally offensive to me. You did me wrong. No, it can also be used when a person is ashamed or when a person is fearful, like we've seen about the Lord saying about don't be fearful like the unbelievers are fearful. I'm just paraphrasing. But look at verse 33. But Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Now you notice how Peter's always stepping up to the plate and being the spokesman for all the others, you know, or wants to show that he's, the Lord's right-hand man, so to speak. He says, yet I will never be offended. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Now you see what that offended, the offense, can be about? He said he's going to deny the Lord three times. Why? Because the Lord did something wrong to him? No. And look what Peter said in verse 35 here. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Now we know that's not true because they all did scatter. And Peter, even though he hung back a little bit to see what happened, he didn't confess the Lord. Neither did the apostles. They didn't confess the Lord because the woman asked, she said, weren't you with him? Weren't you one of his disciples? No, he kept denying it. He didn't confess the Lord. And that wasn't because he was ashamed of the Lord. It was because he was afraid. And let's look at some of this other thing, these other things about the offended thing. Let's look at, come over to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, and let's take a look at verse 1. Mark 6, verse 1. You know, and again, we all read that verse over and over again, the idea about Peter denying the Lord. And when we see that when you look at Peter denying the Lord there, Peter, he was fearful for his life. He can remember what the Lord told him. He was offended because of the Lord. He was offended because the Lord, of who the Lord was. And it might seem not that could be the case, but actually that was. When you see what the Lord said, he says, thou art an offense unto me, when he told Peter, and he said, get thee behind me, Satan, when he told Peter that he was going to suffer and die and be raised again. Because of Peter's actions to say, not so, Lord. So that's how he was offended of thee. And that's what it said, of thee. Not by thee, but of thee. And we've got to keep that, in mind also. Let's take a look at Mark chapter 6. Mark 6, let's look at verse 1. Mark 6, verse 1. Excuse me. And this is talking about the Lord here. And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when it says his own country, this is not saying he was over in India somewhere like some people think, or went to Britain or somewhere. You hear these things, and people use verses like this to try to back up some of that erroneous doctrine. But his own country, they looked upon the providences of Judea. They looked upon those providences to say, if a person was from, just say Dan or Galilee, that's his own country. Nazareth, that's his own country. But let's pick it up here. Verse 1 again. And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things? What wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Now let's just take a look at that there. You know, as you see, Jesus is in the synagogue. People are hearing him, and they're astonished by what he's saying. They're being affected by it. And then they say, from whence hath this man these things? Now you think that these people are starting to get it. You think these people are starting to say, well, this must be him. This must be the one. Look, and what wisdom is this which is given unto him? That even such mighty works are wrought by his hands. These people actually seen his works. And remember, this is in his own country. But look at verse 3 here. Is this not the carpenter's son, the son of Mary, brother of James, and of Joseph, and of Judah, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. Now, you would think, that's not a positive response. That's a negative response. Because these people are looking upon it like, wait a minute. Well, this can't be him. We've known him all his life. You know, I could see if he was from Upper Judea or something, and we've never seen this guy. This guy's been around us, and now he's coming to teach to us. Now he's coming out with this, you know. But this all came from the negative teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Because when someone will come and say, when a miracle is done, that's the work of the Beelzebub. Yeah, he's casting them out, folks. You can't deny that. You can't deny that he's not casting out devils. We can't deny that he's not raising the dead. But look, but he's doing it by the Beelzebub, by the devil. So that was their way of saving face themselves. And it says, and they were offended at him. Now, not by him, but at him. They're looking upon him, and they were like, yeah, whatever. And you know how you get someone to put a hand up and say, oh, I don't want to hear anymore, type of thing. They were offended at him. Almost looked upon him as there's no truth coming out of him. And look at verse 4. Look what Jesus says here. Verse 4. Excuse me. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin. and in his own house. And he could therefore do no mighty work, save, or in other words, except that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. Now, verse 4, Jesus says, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. And, you know, it's something because some of those people, you got to remember, is more than likely his own family members. I'm not talking about his immediate family there, the ones you see in his household. But he probably had cousins. He probably had other people there. Who knows, you know? But, and he says among his own kin, his own country, and his own house. Verse 5, look at the effects of this. And he could there do no mighty work, except he laid hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. Now, you know there was more sick there than only a few, but the rest were offended by him. They didn't even want to come around him anymore. And it says he could there do no mighty work. And before he was, and we see that over there in verse 2. Because you see it says that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands. Now it says there's such mighty work wrought by his hands. And now look at verse 5. And he could there do no mighty work, except that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And they heard about people getting healed, and they didn't want no parts of it. Why would you think that would be? Wouldn't you think everyone would want to come out to a healing thing to be healed or to have sicknesses taken away? Maybe the dead raised? But they were so offended at him that they didn't even, that he could do no mighty work anymore. He had to just get a couple of scragglers that he laid hands upon and healed them for their benefit. But that's what the issue there about that offended and him being that rock of offense. Now let's come back to Romans chapter 10. Let's go back to Romans chapter 10. And let's look at that again here. And we're going to read that after you've taken in all this doctrine here about that. It should click a little more, but it won't really click in until next week when we take a look at the stumbling stone issue there. But let's look at Romans chapter 10. Let's look at verse 32. Romans 10, verse 32. Wherefore, because they started not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And again, you see that stumbling stone is the rock of offense. Jesus was the rock of offense. He was a rock of offense to the unbelievers. They were offended by him, and he being that rock that's spoken of, they were offended at him. And he's looked upon as that. And the reason why he's looked upon as that is because there was a reason why they didn't trust in him. And you see the reason is, you're going to see because they stumbled, because their own unbelief. Because they heard about him, but they didn't trust in him because they were offended at him. Or what he said, they were offended by it. So, and they wanted to do it on their own. That's what this is about. Because they didn't want to trust in him and fall upon him, they wanted to do it on their own. They said, what do we want him for? We're offended at him. It's got to be another. It's got to be another. And you know, when you look at verses that tell you about who shall bring Jesus down again from heaven or bring him up from the deep, that's saying, when you're saying another should come, that he's not the one, it's got to be someone else. The Messiah didn't come, couldn't be this guy. This guy here, he was too weak or too calmly, too peaceful for us. And that's what happened. They stumbled over that rock of offense. Jesus Christ became a stumbling stone for those that did not want to trust in him. But let's do something here. I want to do here, we got a few minutes to go over this. I want to go and read on down through chapter 12 chapter 10, because this section that we're going to be going over from verses 32, it's going to go all the way through chapter 10, verse 13. And it's going to go all the way down to that, or actually verse 11, I'm sorry. So you're going to see that it's going to go all the way from chapter 10, verse 1, all the way down to 11 there. So we'll start here in verse 30 again. So let's pick it up here, verse 30. Yeah, verse 30, I'm sorry. No, not verse 30. Verse 32. Romans 9, verse 32. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whomsoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. And, you know, this is what I just talked about, and that's what they're saying. I don't want to amplify this too much because I don't want to give you too much before the time, before you're able to digest the other thing. But you'll see the reason why we're going over this right now here. Verse 8, for what saith it? The word is nigh in thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That is, and that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And you see what's being said here. And he's just repeating what verse 33 says. And hold your place there and look at verse 33, Romans 9, verse 33. Romans 9, verse 33 says, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And then when you look here at verse 11 of Romans 10, it says, for Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And that's why, like I said, it's vital. And we're going to be going over this chunk of scriptures for the next few weeks here. But as you see, and we're going to go over this, but it's about that being ashamed, that rock of offense because of shame there. And we're going to go over that Romans 10 and 9 issue there about, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And, you know, folks, I know you know that you don't have to believe and confess to be saved. I know you know that. But we're going to go over some of the verses to solidify that also in the next few weeks. We're going to go over those issues about that, about what Israel had to do. And then that's what this is speaking about, Israel. And we're going to cover that because Paul already dealt with justification in Romans 3, 4, and 5. And looking at this here, again, that's the whole idea we need to see. And when you're looking at the righteousness of God in verse 30 and 31, what's being said, how they wanted to attain it, a lot of people would think about that law and think that that law of the Old Testament was there so Israel can justify themselves by it. They'll say, well, Israel had to do the law. They had to do the law there. Or people would try to put the Ten Commandments on their refrigerator, or, you know, well, this is right. This is how we become justified, how you become saved. You do the Ten Commandments. Keep doing. That's not what that's saying there. You got to remember something. When you look at the book of Romans and the book of Hebrews, they are similar in a sense. But when Christ died on the cross, his blood accomplished something for us and something for Israel. With Israel, what it accomplished was, and we see the Lord say it, he says, this is the New Testament in my blood. And we see the writer of Hebrews, he talks about the shedding of the blood of the bulls and goats and things, and then about a better covenant came and the death of a testator. It's a New Testament because the death of the testator brought in a better covenant or the New Testament. The Lord and Savior's blood at the cross brought in the New Testament or fulfilled the New Covenant, brought it to pass, meaning for Israel, they don't have to live by that Old Testament as far as their sanctification. They don't have to walk as a justified saint by the Old Testament 613 laws anymore. They're going to live their sanctified life. They're going to do it by what the Lord told his disciples, by the Comforter who's going to come, by the Word. That Word is going to teach them and guide them in all things, how to love, how to do things out of love. And they're not going to be, it's not going to be a fear thing where they're going to be, when they don't do like they ought to in their daily life, they're going to just say, well, I'm going to live by this. I'm going to not hurt anyone or not do things to people because that's not who I am as a kingdom of priests. That's what they would say. And with us, the Lord and Savior went at the cross, provided for us to also operate upon a love way of living, a sanctification way of living, where God's not pouring his wrath out on us if we don't walk accordingly. His blood at the cross did not only provide for our sins, it provided for more than that also. It provided for ourselves to live sanctified unto him. And that's what we got to keep in mind also there. But I went overboard here. With that, I'm going to turn things over to the Q&A session. And Star 6-1 will get you into the queue. And I just want to give you an update also Coming up July 22nd and 23rd, there's an upcoming conference in the Chicago area. So if anyone's in the Chicago area or close by, there's an upcoming conference there. And the conference is going to be, it's going to be discussing the whole issue of Israel's justification. And that's going to be the theme of the conference there. It's going to be the theme of the conference of, on Israel's justified standing before the Lord, and how God justified the man, that's the man, throughout the ages. And it's going to be called Salvation the Same Throughout the Ages. That's going to be July 21st, July 22nd in Chicago. And if you could make it there, I'll give you more information on it. But there's going to be myself teaching on that, Pastor Trent Cole, Pastor Gerald Wheaton, Brother Albert McDaniel, and Bishop Michael McDaniel will be also there teaching on the subject. There's going to be 2 days that we're going to be teaching that. We're going to have it on Facebook and everything else. We'll go to first caller here, 336, that's you in the queue. Pretty good. How you doing, there, sister? How you been?
Oh, just fine. Yes, since I've been listening to you, I can't say anything, and I know that I've all listened to the message you're teaching and learning for it and everything and stuff. I didn't have a chance to say nothing. Yeah.
Well, fine. Thank you.
I appreciate you teaching. I keep on listening and things.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you
very much. All right, now, thank you, sister. Bye-bye. And I do appreciate that. I do appreciate my faithful listeners and ones that want the truth. And that is so vital to know that there are people out there that could be doing anything, you know, of this world to this world has a lot to offer, and they're still wanting to be edified and listen to Bible doctrine and edify their souls, and that is greatly appreciated. And there's not much of that in the world, which is sad to say. And I do appreciate that, and all others that are listening, and even the ones that listen to the replay or listen to the studies on the Bible study site. I thank you all and appreciate you all. And also, next week, again, I'm going to give you more information about the conference, upcoming conference in Chicago. And I'll give you more information on that.